Second chapter, and as you're doing that, I want to welcome our folks online today. All the folks that are joining us online, welcome to the Promised Land. We're glad to have you wherever you're watching from. It's an honor and privilege to connect with you on the internet here. Some of you are watching on our website or Facebook Live, and I want to encourage you, please go on that little chat section there on the page and let us know where you're watching from. If you have any needs, prayer needs, please type those in there. We'd love to join with you this week and pray for your needs. And it's an honor and privilege to have you in the service today, even though you're not physically here. You're with us in spirit. So let's give all of them a hand right now. Welcome them. Come on. Come on. Yeah. We're glad. We're glad they're here. Listen. I know it's summer, but y'all, you came, you made the effort to get here. Let's get all we can out of church today, all right? Don't waste your trip to church. Invest in it with all you got, emotionally, attention. Let's give God everything we got. I guarantee you, I'll preach better if you'll help me preach, all right? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Wave of the hand. A shout, amen, whatever it takes, all right? So in Jonah, the first chapter, we talked about that last week. God says to Jonah, go. Jonah says, no. And God says, oh? Really? Really? Okay. So he says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I want to go to Tarshish instead. So he goes down to Joppa. He gets on a boat. And he starts sailing to Tarshish, which is 2,000 miles in the wrong direction. And as he's in the middle of the ocean out there, a big storm comes up, so much so that they cannot save the boat. And it comes to their attention, the only way that the storm will go away is if Jonah is thrown off the side of the boat. And so the sailors pick up Jonah. They throw him overboard. And as soon as Jonah hits the water, the Bible says that the seas were calm, that the skies cleared, and the sun came out, and everything was peaceful again when Jonah's sin was dealt with. And last week we talked about how Jesus Christ deals with our sin. And because of Jesus' work for us, the sin storm in our life no longer is going to cause us death. That's awesome. That was in chapter 1. Chapter 1 ends with Jonah being thrown into the water. And then the Bible says, the very last verse of chapter 1 says that as Jonah was thrown into the water, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow him up. Crazy, isn't it? Totally crazy. But that's what happened. And chapter 2 is all about Jonah inside the big fish. And I'm sure that if you were in the big fish, you would do exactly what Jonah did. The whole chapter is a prayer. Jonah is praying throughout chapter 2 because if you're in the middle of a big fish, you better start praying to God, all right? Let's read it, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, O Lord. You heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head, and I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And my earnest prayer went out to you and your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. That's chapter 2. And it is a journey of Jonah coming to his senses and understanding that he's been following after his own way instead of following after God's way. And that's a wake-up call for sure. In fact, as he's in the well, or the big fish, in fact, let's talk about that for a second. The Bible never says well. The Bible always says big fish. The God prepared a big fish. And we always say well because that's the biggest fish that we know of. We don't know that it was a well. God could have created a fish in the moment that was different than a well. It could have been a well that God stretched and made to fit Jonah. It just says that God prepared a fish. And so we understand that that's what God did. He made a way. As he's in that big fish, he's reflecting on his time between being airborne off the boat, hitting the water, going down under the water, seaweed wrapped around him, tossing and turning under the sea, and him going, oh my goodness, I am in the wrong spot. Help me, God, save me from this path that I'm on right now. I need help. And God comes to his rescue, but instead of it being a rope pulling him back up on the boat, which that's what we want, right? We want God to save us in the exact way we want to be saved. We want him to pull us back up on the boat, and we want that boat to be a cruise ship. Come on, somebody. Lido deck. All you can eat buffet. That's not what happened. Next option would be let a piece of wood be floating by. Let me just grab on a piece of wood and I'll float back to the shore. But that's not what God provided. In fact, God's solution for Jonah is a giant fish to swallow him. How bizarre is that? And hold him for 3 days until he swims back to the shore and spits him out. Suddenly, as Jonah is in the water, he is snatched violently and swallowed. He is thrown headlong into a hot, constricted mass of rotten vegetable matter, possibly other things there in the stomach, but it's this huge sucking in, and he's engulfed. And then can you imagine the darkness inside of that fish and the overpowering nauseous smell? Go ahead and envision it. All right, go ahead and think about that for a second. The burning stomach acids of this fish must have been horrific. So he's inside this fish, he's wallowing around, and then he realizes, oh, I can breathe in here. There's oxygen in here. He's getting his bearings. He's sitting on the edge of this stomach or whatever place he's in, this big fish, and he's realizing, I'm not going to die. And that's a good thought, right? I'm not going to die. I am going to live. This is not where I want to be. This is not what I would choose. But I'm not going to die. I'm in a fish. I'm in a place of holding. He's in a portal. He's in a vehicle. God gave him a vehicle to get back to dry land. It just so happens to be a fish. And so here's the point I'm trying to make to you. Sometimes God allows life to swallow you up. Sometimes God allows life to swallow you up. I know as a human being, when a big fish swallows you up, that's not what you want. But here's what I want to propose to you today. Is that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, sometimes you will be swallowed up by a big fish or some other situation in life that you have no control over. But when you are trusting in Jesus, you know that you're still going to make it. And that this is just a season. And that if you can make it 3 more days in the belly of that big fish, you are going to be transported into a new season of life. And basically what this is a door of one opportunity closes, and you are walking toward your next door of opportunity, but sometimes it's hell in the hallway. Yeah. I just said that. That's right. I just said that. It's hell in the hallway. We want that one door to close and then us go straight into that next thing. But that's not always the way God moves in our life. Sometimes He has a season of being swallowed up by something you have no control over. For one thing, you got yourself in this mess to begin with. You're the one that was disobedient, and you're having to live with the consequences. Be thankful you're not still in the water. God has provided a way out for you, but it's in the middle of a big fish. So you've been swallowed up. It's a waiting period. There's many different ways you can look at this. The fish is a waiting period. The fish is a vehicle to your next season. The fish is not your best life right now. It's not what you intended. It's not what you would want. However, it is a God-given portal that you simply need to be faithful in the midst of. Keep your eyes focused, just like Jonah is about to, you know, he's really waking up, he's realizing what's going on, and he's understanding that this is just a season. In our life today, there's many different types of these fish that swallow us up. Many different types. For some, it might be unemployment. That's a fish that swallowed you up. It's not where you want to be. It's not the status in life that you want. But you find yourself in this big fish of unemployment. And I can name off so many people in church, in Promised Land, in this local church that have been fired. And they really didn't even do anything wrong. But they found themselves in unemployment period of life. And they thought, how could this be? I thought I was following God. But it is a portal. It is a preparing season for you. Others have made mistakes and found themselves in bankruptcy. And bankruptcy is a period of time where you begin to build back your financial status, and you save money, and you pay off debt, and some of the debt's relieved, and your credit is zero, and you have to build back. Bankruptcy is a big fish. I can tell you stories of people in our church that went through bankruptcy, and then they went to Bible school after bankruptcy. Amen. That's awesome. That's not the path we want to take, is it? No, that's not, but that is a season that we find ourselves in. Sometimes it's jail time. You have done something, you violated the law. We all want to be forgiven and no consequences here on earth, but sometimes we have to pay the consequences on this earth. God puts you in a season where you're incarcerated, and we've got, even in Promised Land, we've got folks that have been incarcerated, been put in jail, that it is a season for them. It's a fish. They don't want to be there. It's stinky. It's dark. It's not where they want to be. But God has put them there for a season. Maybe it is your marriage status, being single, being divorced. For some of you, you think being married is a big fish for you that you've been swallowed up in. Oh. You've come to the right place today. Man, it's this human nature. We don't want the fish. We don't want the situation that we're in. But most of the time, we have caused it ourselves, and it is simply the result or the consequence of what we've been doing. And it could be a whole lot worse, but by the grace of God, He is preparing you for your next thing. God has not forgotten you. Some of y'all just need to hear the word of God today. Listen to the message of Jonah today, that God has a plan for your life. You have not been abandoned by God. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to be ostracized. And you don't have to be concerned that the fish is your future. The fish is your present, but it doesn't have to be your future. God is transporting you in the fish, but at some point, He's setting you up for that next step, which is where you're going to be puked out onto the sea, the sand. Woo! Can't wait for that, right? Blech! There you come out to the next phase of life, out on dry land. But let me tell you something. Even though you're in a part of puke, you're glad to be on dry land, right? You're in that next phase. And He's not spit out into Nineveh. He's spit out onto the shore, probably very close to where the boat left in the first place. So He's again challenged to walk the path that He was supposed to walk to begin with. He has a choice again. Do I follow and trust after God, or do I do my own thing again? That's not what we want. We want the fish to spit us out into Nineveh, straight into the place where we don't even have to make a choice. But that's not what God does. He puts us in a place again. I mean, almost on a daily basis, where we have to make the choice ourselves. Will we choose God, or will we choose our own way? And so, if you're in that place right now, let me just speak good news to you today, that you have a future that is beyond the fish. Maybe you should write that down. Text that, tweet that, Facebook that. I have a future beyond the fish. My fish is not the ultimate destination for me. It is my vehicle taking me to where God wants me to go. Amen. There is a verse near the end of Jonah 2 that I want to end our message on today. Jonah 2 and 8. That is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. It is a revelation that Jonah comes to as he's in the fish. Let me just say this. If you're in the fish, don't waste the moments in the fish. Get moments like this. And if you're not in the fish yet, don't wait until you get into the fish before you learn this valuable lesson right here. Those who cling... Get a visualization of clinging. You're like a cat with its claws out, and you're digging in, hanging on for life. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So many, just leave that on the screen for a moment. I want us to just let this sink in all the way. There's so many powerful words in this scripture. Those who cling to worthless idols. Clinging. You got that visual picture. You're hanging on. You're clinging because this is your prized possession. So I know that when you read the word idol, that our inclination is, well, I don't have any idols in my life. I'm not worshiping statues. I don't have a problem with worshiping idols. Don't let that word catch you and get away from you, okay? Anything that we put ahead of God becomes an idol for us. Anything. And so bad things become idols for us, like addictions and indulging ourselves in things that we shouldn't be indulging ourselves in. When we have hurt other people because we don't like them or whatever, we or bitter and angry, and all these things we can put ahead of God. But let's take it a step further. You can actually take good things that are from God and make them into an idol as well. Timothy Keller, the writer, says it like this: whenever a good thing becomes the main thing, it becomes an idol. So let's take something good like parenting or marriage. Those are God-given things that are good things. But if your marriage comes before your relationship with God, it becomes the main thing and it becomes an idol in your life. Or if your education, man, going to school is amazing. Getting a degree is awesome. Go for it. Do that. That's a good thing. But if your education comes before God, it becomes an idol in your life. And we cling to those things. What happens is we work really hard for these things. We work really hard for these things. And when we start seeing them slip away, what do? We cling to them. No, I can't lose my marriage. No, I can't lose my kids. No, I can't lose my job. No, I can't lose my money. I can't make a failing grade. And so we cling to them and we do everything we can, neglecting our relationship with God and our vision for who God is. And we cling to these things that become worthless to us. They cannot produce what we think they can produce. We've invested so much into them. We think that they're more valuable than they really are, and we elevate them above God, and they become an idol for us. And so what Jonah is saying right here is that we cling to these idols, these worthless idols, and what happens when we do that is that there's like this pipeline that God is sending us his grace. And the grace of God is the power of God. It is the force of God through the Holy Spirit. His grace is the force of God, the power of God that actually converts us and changes us and empowers us. That is the grace of God. It is what gives us our sustenance to make it today. It is the ability for us to conquer the sin in our life, the temptation of our life, to live a life of victory, of holiness. It is the grace of God that makes us right and sanctifies us and makes us strong and overcoming the forces of evil. That's the grace of God. And there, for those who believe in God, there is, I want you to visualize this like a pipeline. Here's God. He's sending us his power to overcome all odds, and there's grace coming through this pipeline. What Jonah is saying is that when we cling to worthless idols, what we're doing is we're turning the crank on that pipe and cutting off the grace flow that was coming into our life. We are forfeiting the grace that could be ours when we cling to all these other things. And that's exactly what's happening in his world, in Jonah's world. What he's saying is that God's grace is waiting on you and I. God's grace is waiting on us. God's grace, it's not a prayer that you have to pray of, God, please help me. God, send your grace to me. God, I need your power in my life to overcome whatever you need to overcome. That's not the prayer that we need to pray. God is waiting on us to give up our idols so that we will release the grace that he has for us. This is so fundamental. It's so important. David says in Psalms, and I quoted this the other day, I can't remember what service or when, but Psalms, David says, you have given me control over the works of your hands. This is what he's telling to God. And that's what prayer is all about. You have given me control over the works of your hands. So envision God's hands right here. And prayer is you saying, God, take those hands and work right here. And take those hands and work right there. And that's what God is wanting us to do as we pray. Here is an area that we need help with. And just a few minutes ago, I was praying with people. We did that. We said, God, take control of the situation. So this is what Jonah is saying. Jonah is saying, we handcuff the hands of God. We forfeit the grace of God when we put anything else above him. Remember what I talked about last week, Isaiah 55. Isaiah says that God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Our thoughts are down here. Our ways are down here. God's thoughts and ways are up here. What happens is God will say something like, go to Nineveh. And we go, huh? No way. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Why is that? Why do we think that? Because our thoughts are down here. Our ways are down here. We can't understand why God would say go to Nineveh. Why should we go to Nineveh? That makes no sense to me. I don't want to go to Nineveh. His thoughts are up here. So what's happening is he's given a choice. Do you trust that God's word is true? Do you trust that his ways are better than your ways? Do you trust that God's thoughts are better than your thoughts? And Jonah totally fails that test. He's like, no, that makes no sense to me. Look what happens. Everybody look right up here. This is what's happening. God says, go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes, no, that doesn't make any sense to me. That, I don't understand that at all. I'm going to go to Tarshish instead. And he elevates his thoughts above God's ways, and he makes himself an idol above God. He begins to say, I am more important than God. My ways are better than God's ways. I am smarter than God's ways. In essence, what he's saying is, I am God because I'm the smartest. And God doesn't make any sense. Go to Nineveh. I'm going to do my own thing. He is making an idol out of his own will and his own way. And then in the belly of the fish, he goes, oh, no, repentance. This is what repentance is. Everybody looking up here? I'm working hard at this illustration, so come on now. This is what Jonah says in the belly of the fish. Oh, my ways are not better than your ways. I'm going to put you back on the throne of my life. I'm going to look to you for guidance and direction. I'm not going to think that my ways make more sense. Even if they do make more sense. If my ways make more sense, but you've told me something that doesn't make sense, I'm going to trust that you know more than I know, and that someday it'll all come out why I should do this. I'm going to step in faith and do something that I cannot see, that I don't understand, and I'm going to obey what you're telling me to do. This is really good stuff here today that we learned from Jonah, Jonah chapter 2. How much we give up when we put our ways above God's ways. We forfeit the grace of God by not trusting in him. So when we pray, God, help me. God, help my marriage. God, help my whatever. My knee hurts. God, you know, whatever it is that you're, I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your grace. God's, this is what I think God's reply is after reading Jonah 2 and 8. I think God is saying, I am ready to give you everything that you need. If you will give up those things that you've put ahead of me, you will naturally release the power that I have for you. If you will give up those things that you've put ahead of me, you will release the grace valve in your life, and it will naturally flow to you, and you may not even have to pray it. It's going to be flowing in your life. And so that's what I want to do. And that's really what our prayer is. That's what Jonah's prayer in the belly of the big fish is. God, my way is not better than your ways. I just read it earlier when I read it. He says, I will fulfill all my vows. What he's saying is, I will go to Nineveh. I will do what you've called me to do. There are certain things he says in there, like, I have fallen away, but I will once again move toward your holy temple. And then he also says, I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates lock shut forever. And some of you have thought in your life that the gates of God have locked shut behind you forever. I'm here to tell you today the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe those gates were shut behind you, but Jesus has the key. Jesus has the key to give you another chance at life. And you might have to spend some time in a big fish, but he's going to spit you out on dry land. And you're going to have an opportunity to go to a new future and follow in the ways of God. Let me finish with this. And Lacey, wherever you are, come from the, there you are. Here. We see the word grace several times in the Bible. And one of those times is when Paul is talking about a thorn that is in his flesh. And it's not a literal thorn. He didn't step on a thorn and it's sticking his foot. What he's talking about is some life issue that is so difficult that he wants it to go away. And he's praying, God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me from this thorn. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for the thorn. So even if I don't take the thorn away, you're still going to be okay. So don't be so preoccupied with the thorn. Just pursue the grace. Just pursue me. And so we see that Paul is very successful throughout his life and his ministry, doing amazing things because God gives him the grace, the power, the flow to him to make it happen. There's another very powerful truth that I want to just drop on you for a second. And that is, we want a lifetime supply of grace right now. You know, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, I know I need your power and your grace for the rest of my life. So go ahead and give me all that grace right now. I'll take it. And a lifetime supply of the grace of God. God's got all the grace that you need, but he doles it out on a daily basis. That's how it goes. He doesn't give you a whole lifetime of grace right now. He gives you your daily bread. Y'all know Matthew 6 and 10, he gives us the prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Today I need the allotment of grace that I need to make it today. Here it is. Here it is. Take it. Well, what about tomorrow, Jesus? What about tomorrow? What about my grace? I go ahead and give me that allotment today too, just so I can rest. No, this is what God says. No, I want you to trust me that I'm going to give you your allotment tomorrow too, but I'm going to only give you what you need for today. And then tomorrow, we're going to have another conversation about tomorrow. That's why we talk to God on a daily basis. Lord, I need my allotment today. If I can make it today. When our daughter was born, the heaviest emotional time for us was just a few days after she was born. She was born with a brain abnormality where they said she won't live 6 months. And if she does live longer than that, it may be a year. So take her home and enjoy her. If she lives any longer than that, she'll be a vegetable. And I remember thinking, there's no way that I could be 70 years old and taking care of my 50-year-old daughter. Just the thought of that was so impossible to me. There's just no way. There's no way I can do that. And I was so crushed thinking about the future and how horrible the future could be someday. And I was like, I just can't handle, that's too heavy for me to think about how hard this would be for me to have to do that, you know, 50 years from now. And God told me through another lady at church, she prophesied over us and she didn't even know it. She said, Robin and Erica, you're going to make it and you're going to make it on a daily basis. And you're going to take one day at a time, and God's going to give you the grace that you need for each day at each time that you need it. And He's going to be faithful. And this cliche that I had heard all my life of take it one day at a time, all of a sudden was like the most powerful spiritual truth I'd ever heard in my life. Because God says, I will always do that for you. I will always give you the grace that you need for the day that's at hand. Tomorrow, let it worry about itself. Tomorrow has enough worries to worry about itself. That's what Jesus said. Today is all we have. Live in this moment. Enjoy this moment. God's going to give you the grace to make it to bed tonight. You're going to sleep tonight. And then when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to have a new allotment of grace for that day. And you're going to make it tomorrow too. But you're going to trust in God every step of the way. Would you bow your heads with me? Would you bow your heads with me right now? Let's pray. Let's pray for that season that you're in right now that's confusing, that's dark, that you don't like, that has so many questions unanswered. That space in your life that you need the grace of God desperately to help you with. And now let me ask you a question that needs to be asked, and that is this. Is there anything you've put before God? Is there anything in your life where He said, go to Nineveh, and you said, no, I'm going to Tarshish? I want to challenge you today. I can't answer this question for you. This is something only you can discern from God. But before you start asking God to solve all your problems, maybe you should give up some things that you've put in front of Him, or at least reprioritize, put Him first. Put Him first above everything else. Let's do that today. Let's put Him first before everything else. Because I guarantee you, the older you get, those opportunities to trust God are not going to go away. They're going to keep happening. So let's get in a habit. Let's get in a godly habit of surrendering to Him. That's why daily prayer is so important. Daily devotion is so important. That's why connecting with other believers on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, is so important. That's why pastors talk to you about reading the Bible. Why? Because all of these things recenter us around the truth of God. And they help us in that conviction. Oh man, I put that ahead of God. Forgive me. I want to pray a little deeper today. There's some folks in here today that are going through some things that you didn't even realize. It didn't even dawn on you that you'd put them before God, because it's become such a way of life, such a habit for you. So maybe there's some idols in your life that are there that you did not even realize. And it still really hasn't dawned on you. Let's pray a prayer today that God will reveal those and illuminate those over time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today in submission and surrender. As we are in the belly of the fish, we say, we are Yours 100%. Would You just tell that to God right now? I'm Yours 100%. I don't want to be in struggle. I want You first, God. Let's ask God right now, is there anything in my life that's not of You, that I have idolized? Give me wisdom, Lord, to know how to continue to be a parent without making it more important than You. Lord, give me wisdom to continue in my marriage without putting it in front of You. Lord, allow me to be successful at my work without it being more important than you. I want you to be first, God. I would lay it all down for you. I would walk away, Lord, if it meant I could have you, Jesus. Come on, let's be honest with God today. Let's tell him today if there's anything going on. Don't waste the fish experience. Don't waste the fish experience. Lord, I want to get everything I can. I want to purify my life. I want to walk away from anything, God, that's not of you. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I surrender my life. God, I make myself wide open and available for you. Have your way with me today. In Jesus' name, we pray. If there's anybody in here today that is brand new to this and you've never really said, Jesus, I'm going to put you first for the first time. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable praying that prayer because you're not really a believer yet. You're not really officially a Christian yet. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day where you surrender and say, today I give you my life for the first time. Let's do that right now. God, I give you my life for the first time. I put you first in my life for the first time. Please forgive me of my sins. I repent because I need a Savior. I repent because I am not God. I need you, God. I put you first in my life, and I'm ready to walk with you forever. What a beautiful statement that is. I walk with you, Lord. I want to walk with you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe God's working. He's moving. He's flowing throughout this place today. If you'll hang with me just for about 2 minutes, we're about to dismiss, but if you'll just stay seated just for a second, I want to let you know that we want to connect with you today. We want to connect with you this week. We're going to be praying for people up at the front. We'd love to pray with you. Another way to connect with us this week is to take out the envelope that you see in front of you and that seat back in front of you and just give us a little bit of information about yourself, especially those of you that are guests today and you want more information about our church or you want us to pray for you this week. Please take out one of those cards and connect with us this week. We're so thankful that all the guests are here in the summer, especially. I mean, everybody else is going every other place, but you've come to the house of God today. That's awesome. Let's go further together. And so fill out that little card there. You can pass it in the plates as it goes by. I want to ask our ushers to come on down to the front at this time, and we're going to give financially to God. We're going to take something that's meaningful to us, which is our money. And this message I'm saying here is not for our guests. It's for our regular attenders, people that come to Promise Land all the time. And I'm never going to shy away from this message about giving money to God, because you know why? It's one of the best messages I can tell you. To put yourself under the covering of God's financial plan is some of the best advice that anybody could tell you. To put your household under the covering of God. You can take out one of those same envelopes. Up on the screen are different ways that you can give financially to God. Online, texting, you can use a card, you can use check or cash in that envelope. You can give online 24/7. That's what Erica and I do. We give throughout the week. Whenever we get paid, we give to God online. So that's an easy and safe way. It's a secure way. It's a secure server website to give online. But I want us to pray for our giving today. And we're going to pray that his word comes to pass. That every amount that you give is like a seed going into good soil. It's like a seed being planted into good soil. And let me just tell you, Promised Land is healthy soil. it's good soil. And people have been sowing for 14 years. Did y'all know that Thursday was our 14th birthday? For 14 years, people have been sowing into this local church, and God has blessed beyond measure. We can't even calculate what God has done in this place. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Well, let's pray over our gifts today. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for provision. Thank you for finances. Thank you for commissions and bonuses and salaries and hourly wages and customers and contracts and insurance settlements and court settlements and inheritance and real estate transactions. I mean, all the different ways that there can be increase in our life. Lord, we pronounce you as provider. We declare you as our provider. And as such, it is our honor and privilege to give back to you our best, a portion of what you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, as they pass those plates out, let me tell you a couple things. As I mentioned earlier, there will be more prayer at the front today. As we conclude the service, you're more than welcome to come down and pray with a prayer partner. You can also be baptized today. We're baptizing people into the family of God. So we'd love to baptize you today. And then I want to give you a month's warning, a month in advance. So it's actually less than a month now, but July the 5th, we're going to have a big party here. It's the first Wednesday night of the month, and we typically have a service in the building, but we're going to take that night outside. We're going to have barbecue. We're going to have cotton candy. We're going to have kettle corn made on site. Games for the kids, games for adults. We're going to have a fireworks show that night. It's going to be a lot of fun. So come on out and be a part. That's on Wednesday night, July the 5th. All right? And we'll just have a good old family time out here, promising. How many of you was here a couple years ago when we had a July 4th party? We had a fireworks show like crazy. It was an awesome fireworks show. So much so that burning things were falling down in people's faces. And we got a little scared. But this year we're going to scoot back a few feet. We'll scoot back a few feet. But it was amazing fireworks show. So we love doing things like that, celebrating with family. So mark that on your calendar, Wednesday night, July 5th. All right, God bless you. You are dismissed. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Step.